Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Which reminds me, I'm glad some of you are sitting close to the pulpit so I can keep an eye on you better. Especially the people on this side. Anyway, how many of you are familiar with the cartoon strip, Calvin and Hobbes? I have to admit, it's one of my favorite cartoon strips ever. Maybe because I relate to that young man, Calvin. He reminds me of my own childhood. Not the philosophical stuff that he occasionally shares with us, but all the other things that he gets into. It just makes me wish I could do it over again. So many things I didn't think of doing that I could do now. Anyway, I mention this because there's a cartoon that I really like. It's Calvin talking with his dad, and he says to his dad, "I saw a commercial for a luxury cruise. How come we don't do something like that?" And Dad looks at him and says, "Well, we go camping every summer, and you and your mom really hate it. You're miserable. And we do that so that when you get home, it'll feel like you're on a luxury cruise." And Calvin walks to his mother, who knows absolutely nothing of this conversation, and he says, "Please tell me I'm adopted." You can probably guess why I brought that up. Not to talk about luxury cruises, sorry guys, but to talk about adoption. And over the years, I've known a lot of people who have been adopted. In fact, I've yet to talk to somebody as a pastor or just as Bruce who bemoans the fact that they were adopted. Instead, they seem to react pretty much like you react talking about the weather. Oh, it's going to rain, it's going to snow, it's sunny. So what? You know, and the fact is, they're happy to be part of a family, and they've all regarded the family that they're in as their family. They are indeed a nuclear part of that family. They have all the rights and the responsibilities and occasionally the punishments of their siblings. Now then, brothers and sisters, I can call you that because we are brothers and sisters in Christ, but also because we are adopted, you and I, every one of us. We're siblings, along with every other believer in Christianity, through all the ages of ages. And with that, it means we're not debtors to the flesh. We're not debtors to sin, to the body. You hear those terms, and they're almost like they're interchangeable. Body, sin, flesh. Well, in this case, they all mean the same thing. Something that God would not smile upon. We're not debtors to the flesh. But if by the Holy Spirit we put to death sin and our bodies, we will live. So how do we put to death sin and our bodies? Well, the Holy Spirit helps. Our bodies don't literally die, not at this point in time. But again, we're talking about sin. We put to death the sin that is in us. We're free, in other words, from the dominating power of sin. We're still debtors, but not to sin, but to God and the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul is talking here of the consequences of Christian life and giving oneself to the influence of the Holy Spirit. Giving oneself as far as we're able to divine grace. And when we do that, and you probably have already found this, but you may not have thought of it like this. When we do this, we realize the deeds of the body, the deeds of sin, the flesh, are no longer the norms of life. not when life is lived through the Spirit. We're not obligated to those old selfish cravings. Through the Spirit, we can react against them. You know, every now and then, I'm tempted. What am I tempted to do? I don't know, something pretty insignificant. But through the Spirit, I'm not really tempted. I remember back when I was Kelvin's age, so to speak, yeah, I'd give in to him with gusto. You know, Martin Luther says, sin boldly. Well, I took that to heart. Not knowing the context, didn't matter. But you know, the deeds of the body aren't the norm of our life, our lives. Life is lived through the Spirit. We're not obligated to what we used to feel we had to do. We react against them. The former, sin, the body, the flesh, leads to death. But the Spirit gives us life with God. It guarantees life. Those who are led by God's Spirit are children of God. We are children of God, brothers and sisters, all of us. The Spirit not only enables us to put to death the deeds of the body, but it gives new life. It sets for us the relationship of God as our Father. Yes, we're adopted children, but we are His children nonetheless. And by the Spirit, we are enabled to call God Father, Abba, Daddy. We can do that. Sometimes it still gives me a chill when I realize that, yes, I can pray to God as Father. And He is my Father, and I am His Son. And you are His sons and His daughters. This is the destiny that awaits us. Someday, living with God in person, so to speak, and in the Spirit. Now, according to Adam, we are children of Adam, but those who are led by the Spirit are children of God and heirs with Christ, through whom we share in a fuller form of glory, or we will share in a fuller form of glory. The Greek word translated here as adopted denotes a special status, especially back in Greek and Roman times. If you were adopted into a family, you had every right as a son or as a daughter in that family. You may be the heir of the person who adopted you. In fact, there's a good chance that you would have been because you were adopted. Even emperors were adopted at times. You know, if an emperor didn't have a son or a daughter who was capable of replacing him or succeeding him, he would adopt. And this happened several times in the course of history. But we have been taken into the family of God under what's called the patria potestas, the paternal authority of God Himself. And we have a legitimate legal, if you will, status in that family. Not as slaves, but as sons and daughters. And our attitude should be that of sons and daughters. It should correspond to the status that we enjoy. For one thing, we're free from the law. We live under grace. We're saved by grace through faith. We know that. And we are children of God. Does this make sense so far? Thank you for nodding. That was just a test to see if you were actually awake. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, children and heirs also, not just a people, but through the gift of the Spirit, children of God, in the family of God, in God's own household. Through faith and baptism, we as Christians have grown together with Christ, in Christ, and we share of his death and his resurrection. And all of us, as Christians, have entered into the very family of God. We've done nothing to deserve it, of course. Nothing. You can't deserve something like that. But God, in his amazing love and mercy, has taken the lost, the helpless, the hapless, the hopeless, the poverty-stricken, debt-laden, sinners, us, and adopted us into his family. This is something I keep harping on in this sermon, you've no doubt noticed. But it's so incredibly important to us that we are in the household of God. Yes, we live in this world, but we're not of the world. We are of God's household. We are something different. We are a holy people. We have been set apart, and we're to act like it, to live like it. Christ died for us, that we might be brought into God's household. I want to share with you a quote from Lutheran theologian Jürgen Moltmann. He said, "Anyone who is a child of his Father in heaven," and how innocent that sounds, "becomes a troublemaker and a spoilsport in the world, which is settled on with the law of retaliation instead of God." And I like that, being a troublemaker and a spoilsport. It appeals to me. Not to the old Kelvin that's within me, but to the Bruce who knows that he's a child of God, who knows that he is saved, who knows that, yes, he lives in this world, but he's not of the world. And there are things in the world that I don't like, and I wish I could do something about them, but I can't, nor can you. But I don't have to accede to them. I don't have to pay them lip service. I don't have to talk about how wonderful it would be to be wealthy, to have power, this, that. None of that matters. And frankly, I don't care. I don't want it for myself. I don't want it for you either, but that's beside the point. Now, I share that quote with you because we are Christians, Lutheran Christians in our case, and although we live in the world, we're not of the world, we live in Christ. We not only see the world for what it is, but if we look closely, or if we look broadly, we can see beyond it to God. We see the consequence of sin in everyday life, our lives, the lives of others. Some of the things we struggle with are because of poor choices we made when we were young. But, again, as Lutheran Christians, we know that we are saved by faith, which comes through the grace of God, and we live in hope, which rests on our faith. Do we see this hope? No, we don't see it. But we don't have to see it, because we have the faith that tells us it's there. And faith, dear brothers and sisters, always bears hope. Never despair. Always, always, always hope. We wait, not for death, but for life. Amen.